If you would please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John. John chapter 12. We're going to read verses 12 through 26. John chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. Many people don't realize it, but from chapter 12 on through the rest of the book of John, it deals with just one week of the Lord's life, the last week of the Lord's life. Verse 12. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it. As it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason, also the people went and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who were going to worship at the feast. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Let's pray. Well, Father, as I read that passage, I was struck by a couple of what we would think is random details. Things that didn't seem to necessarily be required to describe the scene, but yet things that actually took place. In fact, the text says that even the disciples didn't understand some of these events. They also thought that they were somewhat random. But later on, they understood what was happening. So we come this morning as disciples who want to understand what is happening. What do some of these details have to do with the bigger picture? And what is the bigger picture? So open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, I pray, dear God. Amen. Now, we have read an account of what is commonly called the triumphal entry. It occurred on the Sunday of Passion Week. Passion Week being the last week of the Lord's life. His passion is a reference to his suffering and death on the cross. It's called Palm Sunday, because as Jesus rode into town on a young donkey, the people waved palm branches. Some even took off their outer garments and used them as road carpet. This is what we would say today, a ticker tape parade. Now, I do wonder what the disciples were thinking, because this reception, this ticker tape parade, was very unexpected. In fact, as you read the Gospels, every previous trip into Jerusalem went badly. The first time he came to Jerusalem for Passover, he got into a fight with the money changers. The next visit, he healed a paralyzed man on the Sabbath and got persecuted. The next time, they wanted to kill him because he had made himself equal with God. When he came back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Booths, as they called it, they called him a crazy man. And on his last visit before this one, at the Feast of Dedication, they tried to stone him to death with rocks. That is what they expected. Look at chapter 11, verse 16. John 11:16. Therefore, Thomas, who unfairly is often called Doubting Thomas, he was just a realist, because look what he says. Therefore, Thomas, who's called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go so that we may die with him." That was what they expected. Great, Jesus is going back to Jerusalem. This time they're going to kill him. Look at chapter 11, verse 53. So from that day on, they planned together to kill him. So this is what the disciples were expecting. They were not expecting such a fuss over a donkey ride. So why, 2,000 years later, does the Christian church still make such a fuss over a donkey ride? Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? What is this triumphal entry, as it's often called, really about? Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. First of all, it's a victory parade. It is a victory parade. Look at verses 12 and 13. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took out branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Now, you'll notice, and perhaps in some of your translations, that Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel, is set in a different type or a different size. That tells us that this is a quote from the Old Testament. This particular quote is from Psalm 118, verse 26. It wasn't unusual for them to sing this song as they came into Jerusalem. Again, they were getting ready to celebrate Passover. So this song was often, we think, sung by the pilgrims as they were coming to into Jerusalem. But this time it took on added meaning, because you'll notice they didn't start this until verse 12 says they heard that Jesus was coming. Now, this scene is important both visibly and verbally. We see the swaying of the branches. We hear the praises of the people. Both are testifying to the greatness of the rider of the donkey. This entry is, first of all, about what's happened over the last 3 years. As we've seen, the religious rulers didn't like Jesus. He was a threat to their authority. He was a threat to their control. But the people loved him because of everything that he had done. This rider had won great victories. He had had victory over the demonic. He had won the victory over nature. He could calm the seas. He had victory over sickness. He healed the blind, the lame, the deaf. He healed the woman who had a hemorrhage that she hadn't been able to stop for years. The people had heard these things. Many of them had never seen Jesus. But when word came out he's coming into Jerusalem, they wanted to see him because they had heard these things. He even claimed victory over death. He had raised the widow's son at his funeral, raised him to life. He raised the synagogue ruler's daughter who was lying dead on the deathbed. And he had raised his friend Lazarus. In fact, that was very fresh. Look at verse 17. So the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to testify about him. For this reason, also the people went and met him, because they had heard he had performed this sign, this particular sign. Specifically, the witnesses to the raising of Lazarus from the dead had returned to Jerusalem, broadcasting their sensational news. This man can raise people from the dead. And all of those who lived outside of Jerusalem who were coming in for Passover wanted to see someone who could raise somebody from the dead. These were eyewitness accounts. This was a victory parade. Here comes one who conquers death. Now this psalm, Psalm 118, that we see there in verse 13, it's among a group of psalms that, as I said, are often sung when they would gather on their way up to Jerusalem. But here it took on a special meaning. It's more than a donkey ride. This is a victory parade. Particularly, this is the one who has victory over death. Secondly, it is prophecy fulfilled. Verse 14. It is prophecy fulfilled. Jesus, now notice this. Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it. As it is written, again, here's a quote from the Old Testament. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. I mean, let's think about this for a minute. The important thing is that he's entering Jerusalem. I mean, who cares how he enters? Right? What does it matter what he's riding on? In fact, this is the only time in the Gospels we find him riding anything. He always walked. Why isn't he walking now? Because he's purposely fulfilling Scripture. He's purposely fulfilling Scripture. He's fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, which is quoted there in verse 15. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. So again, you look at verse 14. It was Jesus who found this donkey to ride on. Why? Because he knew that the prophets said, he knew that the Scripture said, he was going to come into town riding a donkey. He was fulfilling Scripture. It's more than a donkey ride. It is prophecy being fulfilled in front of their very eyes. This is a very scripturally correct scene. But the implication, of course, is that you can trust him to keep his word. You can trust Jesus to keep his word. If the word, if the Old Testament, if the book of Psalms said that he would ride in on a donkey, then he will ride in on a donkey. So this is a victory parade. This is prophecy fulfilled. This is the coronation of the king. Verse 15. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Again, this is more than just some guy riding into town on a donkey. This is the king of the Jews. Again, verse 15, fear not, daughter of Zion, that's the Jewish nation. Behold, your king is coming, and he's seated on a donkey's colt. He's the king of the Jews. I mean, remember, going back to his birth, the Magi came, and they came to the palace because they figured that's where he would be, and they said to Herod, where is he that's been born king of the Jews? And Herod said, what are you talking about? I'm the king of the Jews. And then they searched the scriptures and found, oh, he'll be born in Bethlehem. But from his very birth, he was pronounced the king of the Jews. And at his death, he'll be pronounced king of the Jews, because Pilate will put it on a marker and nail it above his head. Jesus, king of the Jews. Now the Magi, they came and they meant it sincerely. Pilate, not so much. But he is the king of the Jews. He's simply coming to take his rightful place. He came to sit on a throne. He just had some unfinished business to take care of first. And that is what the rest of the book of John will reveal, which we'll talk about in a second. It's more than just a donkey ride. It's the arrival of the promised Messiah. It's the arrival of the promised Messiah, the one that they had been looking for centuries, has arrived. This is his coronation service, and he's going to be crowned. Not crowned like we think. Not crowned like we would like to be crowned. He's going to be crowned, as he's proclaimed in that placard above his head, King of the Jews. But we see here, again, another random detail. He's not just King of the Jews only. Verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These were not Jewish people. Now these are undoubtedly proselytes. They're converts to Judaism. But they're Greek. They're of a different ethnic group. They're not Jewish. But they had heard about this Jewish Messiah. They wanted to see him too. And they didn't know. He's their Messiah. Can we take part in this? Can we experience this? Can we see this? So they verse 21, then these came to Philip, one of the 12, and they said, hey, we know you're Jewish. You're from Galilee. And they began asking him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He's not just the king of the Jews. He's the king of everybody. His hour has arrived, and it's not just for Jewish people. Yes, he's the promised Messiah. But it's for Greeks. It's for Gentiles. It's for every race, tongue, tribe, and nation. So it is a coronation of the king. It is prophecy fulfilled. It is a victory parade. And lastly, it is a ride to the death. Verse 16. These things his disciples did not understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. I believe referring to the people and the nation. Again, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. When Jesus talks about being glorified, he's talking about his death on the cross. He knew what was coming. So you put yourself in the place of the disciples, the apostles. They thought his coming was going to mean death, because the people were going to kill him. And then all of a sudden, he's getting this ticker tape parade, and now they're thinking, oh, this is great. But yet Jesus knew that death awaited him. He rode into town knowing what awaited him. He was about to be glorified. Not in the way we think of glory. Not in the way we think of being coronated as a king. Because the message of the Bible and of the Gospels and of the whole core of Christianity is that before there is a crown, there has to be a cross. This is Passion Week. This is a week of suffering. This is Christ suffering for us Before there's a crown, there is a cross. Verse 32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Again, there he's talking about, how's he going to be glorified? He's going to be lifted up on a cross. That's what he's referring to. Verse 33. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. He knew it. He knew what was coming. This was a ride to his death. And he took it willingly. Now, the crowds said, Hosanna. We sang that song, a great song. They sang Hosanna, which literally means save us. Save us. Verse 13. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Save us. This is more than just a donkey ride. This is an answer to the prayer, save us. He was going to answer their prayer. He was going to save them. Not by overthrowing the Romans. Not by casting more money changers out of the temple. But dying on a cross. And he got his crown, right? It was made of thorns. It was forced upon his brow. The blood ran out his face. It was a ride to the death. On Palm Sunday, he's riding into town. On Good Friday, he's back to walking. He's walking out of town. This time with a cross on his back. And before Friday is over, he'll be dead. But next Sunday, he'll be alive again. That is more. That's why it's more than a donkey ride. Let's pray. Father, we don't usually think of being glorified. We don't usually think of glory as suffering. We think we want the crown, but not the cross. We want to be crowned with a crown of gold and rubies and silver and workmanship. But our King was crowned with thorns that were driven into his head. And he leaves us a model. The way up is down. The way to first is last. Glory comes through suffering. Now he's coming back. This is not the end of the story. He's returning with glory, and he will sit on David's throne. We believe that. But right now, he is our risen, crucified Savior. And he calls us to take up our cross and follow him.